past the creaky metal gates, through the fog-enveloped graveyard, you find yourself on the rickety old porch of a long-forgotten home. Beyond the threshold sits a man, obsessed, a tortured soul, cursed to discover all about the Southern California haunt community and beyond. You have now entered the domain of The Creepcast with Rick Creeper.
Okay, folks, we're back at it. Episode 9 of The Creepcast with your host, Rick Creeper 11. Thank you for tuning in for the newest episode. I'm really excited for this episode. I have a man on here today who we've been Instagram friends since about 2015. I've admired his artwork. I've admired his sense of humor and the multiple characters he played. Also his, I guess, I don't know if you guys are related, you and...
He's my white brother from another mother. he's my brother.
Okay.
He is.
So the man I'm speaking of goes by the name of, and he has such a cool name. He has three names, Michael Lee Reyes, correct?
That's correct.
So for those that don't know, Mr. Reyes, he is he's the co-owner of R&F Western Customs. You can find him on Instagram. I will definitely put the links in the description where you can find him. Really nice guy, has a funny sense of humor. I've always geeked out some of his little videos, vignettes you've done, the stupid shit you've done. We both have a passion for hot sauce in Mexico.
Yes.
Good. How are we doing, sir?
Doing amazing. Thank you for having me on here.
You look the same way you do online in person, which I'm not shocked.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment. Go ahead. Because, you know, a lot of people, Photoshop or edit, or maybe they wear a ton of makeup and that's who they are online, but when you see them in person, it's like two different people. So I'll take that as a compliment.
I just recently discovered, apparently there's an app where you can edit your facial features.
You'll see that people overuse that because their eyes will look like they look like alien eyes, or they have high cheekbones but they're real narrow in the face. It's like,
you know what's funny? You mentioned the eyes because they have like that baby doll kind of eye, kind of like
Baby Yoda. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So, we've been friends indirectly for about since 2015.
Yeah, 5 years.
5 years, and I've always kind of geeked on your profile and always done the funny stuff. Then I went down a rabbit hole looking at all of your different art, the lanterns, from R&F Western Customs.
Flattered.
I had intentions of buying one a couple of years ago. I don't know what happened, but So how's life? What's going on with you?
It's a very interesting time that we live in. I think we can all agree on that. But you know, I have a job. I got a roof over my head. My fridge is full with food. I just did a Walmart and Costco run the other day. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, even with everything going on, I really can't complain. I'm very lucky to have the life that I do.
I totally agree, and I could totally relate. It's just, got a roof over my head, I got my health, I got a good job. You know, it can always be worse, even though times are trying right now, but hey, you make the best of it. So.
Yeah, sometimes, there's a saying, an analogy I like to always go back to it because it's always relevant every once in a while. It's like, sometimes, when you look at a way of living life, people's like, oh, you're in control of your life the entire time. I respectfully disagree. I think sometimes for me, at least for me, it has felt that life's like a game of poker, and life will deal you a hand. Mm-hmm. And it's what you choose to do with that hand. Whether you say, you discard three or you discard one or you keep your hand. That's the control that you have. And sometimes you just got to make the best of what is.
The best of your situation.
What's handed to you, what's dealt.
I agree with you 100%, sir.
But no. The other, getting back to that, I had a day and I, lights on my motorcycle stopped working. Mm-hmm. And then, Then I needed to get her a service, also my motorcycle oil change, but partly was closed, and then so there was that. And then the window on the driver's side window on my truck, the motor broke, and so the window went all the way down.
It didn't get stuck closed, but it went all the way down.
No, it went all the way down. That's yeah. Great. So, and then the next day, I was tying my boots, and the zipper on my Doc Martens broke.
That's great.
And I was like, yeah, you know what, whatever. Oh, and then I was in the shower listening to music and on my computer, and the music just stopped. My hard drive,
you
failed.
We were just chatting about that. Yeah. You're like, yeah, my computer, I gotta get it fixed. So this happened recently.
Yeah, I had one of those days. It was swell, it's wonderful. And so I had all my music on there and I hadn't backed it up in a while. I'm like, oh no. So I went to the computer place, Unitech, don't go there. And the guy's like, no, you have to make an appointment online and it's gonna be like 4 or 5 days. I'm like,
oh. I'm here now.
Okay, yeah, he wouldn't let me. So I went to option number two, which ended up being this dude's personal business that he did service outside of the front of his house. So right next to his front door, he has a window, which would normally be like an office.
Okay.
But he treated it as a walk-up window. And so I never went in the house. I just handed him my computer through the window. And then he handed me the clipboard. And I filled out my information. And
I picture like an old like burger stop, like the walk-up window. Like
yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was.
I'll get a number two with the shake. And can you fix my computer, please?
Yes. extra cheese on the Which, I don't know. Are you a fan of In-N-Out?
Here's the thing.
No,
I'm assuming you've born and raised in Southern California your entire life.
Yeah, yeah.
Same here. I think because we're so accustomed to having it all the time.
It's lost its...
And I know people that either just moved here or come visit and they're like, oh my God, In-N-Out. I'm like, it's good.
But it's the same.
It's a bad metaphor, but it's like tap water. It's there. If I want In-N-Out, I can literally drive 10 minutes from now and get it.
Yeah, there's no taboo about it. Because it's just like Disneyland or something. Yeah, it's like
the beach.
Backyard.
We take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Take for granted.
My point with that is that if you do go to In-N-Out, anybody listening, if you get their cheeseburger, order it with extra cheese. And just one order of extra cheese. It changes the taste. It's so good.
Really?
And also you can order the... because we're Mexican, we like everything spicy. You can order the yellow chilies chopped up inside the burger.
Really?
They'll do it for you.
Those are not pepper cheese, but banana peppers, correct? Same difference?
Yeah, yellow chilies, yeah. It's the ones that you order with, the ones that you see at the Jim's Burger with the chili carrots in the containers.
Jim's Burgers.
Yeah.
I always had a running joke where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to the gym, I'm going to Jim's Burgers today, you know, off Euclid and whatever out here in Anaheim, you know. Geez, we went off a tangent. So,
yeah.
so you pretty much, life's gonna deal you the cards and it's a matter of what you do with them.
Yeah, oh, that's what it was. So even though I had all these, I got my computer fixed, he was able to put in a new hard drive and I got all my songs back, which I spent last night, you know, reorganizing. But even all of that, you know, and still I was like, you know, whatever. Like, you know, I've been through worse things, things that almost killed me, lost, you know, parts of my body. And when you compare what we're going through to that, it's like, no, this isn't really...
Isn't that bad.
No, it's not that bad.
I hear you. So a little history about R&F Western Customs. How did you and your buddy Dan start that?
So I was living in an apartment at the time, and Daniel was renting a room in a house where the family had, they were expecting, and so they needed the room. And so Dan needed to find a place, and they had just raised the rent at my apartment complex. And so one day over, some shots of Jack, we came up with the bright idea that, like, hey, man, like, maybe, you know, like, why don't we live together for a bit, you know, and we'll both save money. And then, you know, after that time is over, then it's like we both have saved money and then we can go and get our own prospective places.
Right.
So that's how that happened. We rented a house in Mission Hills, just like any house pretty much in the San Fernando Valley. what used to be nothing but orange groves, but you have this house and they're older, but the backyard is, I mean, you have a field back there. And so I broke up the, I swear I'll get back to the question. I broke up the move-in process into phases. So phase one was get everything inside the house and get the house decorated. So at one point, like, we had a diner. We had painted to make it look like a 1950s diner.
So you guys did the traditional black and white or red and white tile, or?
No, we did the
pastel colors, a lot of like.
We did the 57 Chevy turquoise on the wall.
Okay.
We did the white trim. We purposely took off paint to make it look like a Route 66. We did Route 66.
Okay.
You know, little diner.
Cool.
We couldn't do the tile because, you know, the company that owned the house, they had put carpet in a dining room, which I don't understand why you would do that.
Was it a hotel? That's weird.
It was a single story house, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, but I don't know why you would put a you know, just carpet in.
That's like putting carpet in the bathroom. That's a sin.
Yeah, you don't do that. So, and at one point I was contemplating buying the house, and so I was like, well, you know, if I do that, I'll just have my dad. He's a handyman. He does tile. I'll just have him rip it out, and then we'll do black and white tiles, and then we'll actually do red, sparkly 50s booths.
Like tuck and roll. I picture like the old tuck and roll leather interior.
Yep, with the little metal, you know, rivets or whatever they are.
Buttons, yeah.
Yeah. So that didn't happen. But anyways, but we did the diner. We did a horror hallway, and so we got that house, the house done, and then phase two, we had a detached garage. Phase two was the saloon in which we filmed.
Jesus, theme park.
Yeah, we filmed a couple of videos in there, like especially with me and Carlos. but yeah, that was a garage that we just converted into a saloon, full table and everything. And that was pretty awesome.
Was this the pre-man cave era? Is this like where the boys hung out and girl?
Yes, this was the Hellcat Saloon. It had its own.
It had a name, wow.
And actually, we had a buddy of ours, he's the photographer. He did a model's photo shoot in what ended up being our town, because I couldn't stop myself. and yeah, it got published in a magazine, so I was like.
So you turned the detached garage into a Hellcat Saloon, which eventually did a photo shoot, and you guys were hanging out.
And it ended up in a magazine.
Cool.
Yeah, and people were asking where this bar was, and it was like, it's my garage, and it's in my backyard, you know. But then phase three was the back. And so on the outside of the garage, because you had the garage door, and then you had the actual door. It was on the side of the house, so I built a. And prior to this, I didn't know how to use a circular saw. That was just something you say, Dad. You know. But my dad, actually, we went down to Lowe's and he showed me the right tools I should have if I was to be doing this woodwork. And yeah, I learned how to work a circular saw and ended up building a wooden western deck, complete with a metal, the sheet metal awning. And then another deck got built on the back of the house, and then a workshop got, yeah. So you'll see it was very fun to film in. Like there's a couple of videos that were done in the backyard. You know, I think there's one where Miguel almost got hit by a spaceship that the Millennium Falcon shot down. And I think there was a stupid thing in there, but. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And so getting back to the original question was, now I have this town and it's dark at night. And so we're sitting out there, you know, in the wooden rocking chairs and
on your wooden deck.
On a wooden deck, you know, having a cigarette. We did have a bonfire. I had figured out how I wanted to light up the town, which was called El Rey, you know, short for days. So I had come up with an idea to buy the lanterns that you would see like at Walmart or Brick 5 or anything for camping, and because I love like old antiques and stuff. But when you looked at those old lanterns, like that are 100 years old, you're gonna be paying 100-year price.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, how about we figure out a way to buy a new lantern, age it, burn the glass, and then cut into it and run an electrical socket to where you're not messing with kerosene or
wick.
Gas or oil. It's electric, but it looks like it's 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just link them all together and I'll hang them underneath the awning and I'll hook them up to a box over one switch. When you go into the backyard,
all these lanterns.
You hit one switch and the whole town lights up.
Cool.
And that's what it did in it, and it worked well, and it was Daniel. We're sitting there over a bottle of Jack, and and he was like, hey man, you should teach me how to make these. And I was like, all right, if you want. He's like, because I think people will want to buy them. And I was like, all right. So I showed Daniel how to make them, and the first, I'll call the designs the first Mark. Mark 1 lanterns were our first ones, and then we went to Mark 2, Mark 3. We started making it better. We found new ways to age it, mm-hmm. to make it look natural. We started using different paints.
So just like through process elimination, you improve and we're talking, you're giving them these lanterns, the aesthetics of like an old railroad lantern.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so, or Wild West, like
Wild
something,
West, yeah.
You know. So we wanted these things to look 100 years old, but we didn't want our customers paying a hundred year antique price.
Yeah.
So we're antiquing them, they're not antiques.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I at first, like Daniel always handled, well, one day I came home and then he'd come up with our name, which R&F, so Reyes and Foster, because mm-hmm. Daniel's last name is Foster.
Mm-hmm.
R&F, Western Customs, and so that's how it started. And then I came up with the logo, and then he started the eBay account and the Etsy account, and then he built the webpage. He did all that stuff. Like, he's really talented. Mm-hmm. That's really his expertise.
That's
there.
His niche, yeah.
That's not mine. I'm out there in the backyard getting dirty and
right.
Sparks flying and coming up with new stuff. But so yeah, so that's how it started back in 2015. It was we built a Wild West town in our backyard by accident. Didn't plan on it.
So went from just moving to this house, having different themed rooms, a themed backyard, and then you wanted to create lighting for this little Western town.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, Dan's like, hey, let's start selling these.
Yeah, yeah, and then R&F was born.
I think my favorite one, it's the tabletop one. It's all black with a red glass.
You mean lantern?
Yeah.
There was a Dracula one.
The Dracula with the bats on it, yeah.
What happens when you, I think right now, we've been a company for just going on 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and we're at 988 art pieces sold.
Jesus.
Of those 988, I'd say about 600 of them have been lanterns. The rest have been, jewelry boxes or other types of lamps or, mixed media art pieces. So our bread and butter pretty much has been these lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of our customers was like Zach Baggins.
Really?
He's got
the dude from Ghost Adventures, right?
Yeah, he bought like 7 or 8 for
nice.
For a place that his project. I'm guessing that was
the museum he has.
Yeah, but I didn't even know who he was until I was talking to Eric from Bearded Lady, and he was like Zach Baggins. I was like, yeah, and then he showed me the thing. I was like, oh shit, I didn't even know.
You're all some dude just came out and bought it.
We've had barbecue places in Texas.
That's cool.
They bought some and showed us a picture. And
that's cool.
So it's great when our customers show their projects also. But so when you get tired of making so many lanterns, you start to like want to create other things. Uh-huh. And so, we came up with an idea of, hey, why don't we do some horror Halloween themes? So. We did the Dracula one.
Mm-hmm.
That thinking of actually making more of those. There was a Frankenstein one.
Mm-hmm.
There was from the Munster, Lily Munster.
Lily Munster, I remember
there
that.
There was the purple one. So.
I remember the jewelry box too, right?
Yes, yes. Actually, working on one right now. So I started, yeah, doing those types of lanterns. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it went into steampunk.
Do you have a background in like in art? Was it something you just, you had like a natural talent or something you appreciated as a kid? Were you like this dreamer and you sketched in a book? Like how did you, were able to pick up like tools with not really knowing what to do and like building a backyard into a Western town to like creating all these different type of themed lanterns and jewelry boxes?
I grew up poor.
Okay. That's not the way I was going, but okay.
grew up poor. And,
so you had a vivid imagination.
You had to get creative sometimes when, you know, things broke and you had to fix it. And, you know, I think, I don't know if you'll remember, but, you know, the fan, I think the TV back in the day, they were always, there's extension cords, they were wrapped in like tape because someone had walked by, pulled it out of the wall and it kind of, but you
yeah.
Yeah, so you had to like, you know, wrap that up with tape. I mean, you got to get creative. So I think that helped me be creative because I had to think of, you know, how I was going to make something work because we didn't have the money to buy a certain something, or I needed something to look a certain way. Then we didn't have the money to make it new. And so, well, you know, if you get a can of spray paint, you know, you can spray it and make it look new. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, hey, you want some new rims? Like, just take a can of spray paint, do that.
Paint them. That's. Yeah. I'm not even going to say what that is, but yes.
Yeah, no, just get it done. Like, oh, man, no, look, it looks all nice. Yeah.
Eh? When you see the primer jobs on a 92 Centro in my neighborhood, I'm not even going down that route.
Yeah, no, man. I mean, that's the thing, too. If you can't afford rims and you have metal rims or plastic now, because they do sell plastic spray paints, take a can of spray paint. Hey, your tires looking all scraped up? Spray paint those, too.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, shit. So that definitely had something to do with it, about getting creative and making something out of what you have. You know, it's kind of like, I do it in cooking, too. I just love to create. Yeah,
I noticed you're a cooker. You're always prepping food on on your Instagram.
Yeah, that's how I lost. I lost 30 pounds over the course of 3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I just got carried away, and with no workout or diet or what. But
it's all in the diet.
So it is. There's nothing I love more than when you have a bunch of leftovers of different things. You may have some chopped up onions, maybe you have some black olives here, you have some cheese, like maybe you have some chorizo, or you have, you know, some potato, or you got a steak. It's like you got sour cream, or, you know, it's like you can make, you got ingredients there.
You can improvise.
Improvise, put it together and see what it could do. And so I grew up with this sense of, I when I look at something like a leftover piece of metal or a scrap piece of like wood or metal pipe or something like that, I don't see it for what it is. I see it for what it could be.
Hmm.
And so a lot of times I don't throw things away because it's like, well, I can turn this into something. I can do something with this. Mm-hmm. I don't know what right now, but it'll reveal itself sooner or later. Because I don't try to force things. If it happens, it happens. It'll come to me.
I feel like that with everything. Even with this, like, there's times, like, I want to sit and edit or, like, just do something. And I'm like, I have to feel it. If I don't feel it's, if I feel like it's forced, my heart's not in it.
Yeah, and then it doesn't, the end result is, you know, it isn't what it was intended to be because you lost something there. It's when something comes to you naturally, whether you're, you know, sober or drunk. And I keep mentioning that a lot. probably because I'm on vacation. And so,
there you go.
Yeah, it's party time. I think that creativity has always been there. And I think it was as a result of something that was a negative that kind of became a positive. So I was always kind of creative and I like to make things and customize things. But this actual, like the horror art and the dark art and the macabre, and I think that was really unleashed or unlocked by Tim Burton with Nightmare Before Christmas. And I know that kind of seems like a cop out in the horror community as far as like, oh, that, but.
No, it's not.
It opened up my eye. I didn't know that, you know, all of a sudden here's this thing that these colors that are dark, but they're vibrant at the same time.
It still had life.
Yeah, life, and it's twisted, and things aren't perfectly, there's no perfect lines in everything.
Yeah, there was no symmetry, but it was still beautiful.
Yeah, and it was such this abstract, dark, beautiful little thing, and then it was also a musical. Like, I didn't, you know...
Yeah.
The only musical I had any idea was, you know, Rainy Day Classroom, you know, TV strapped onto the black carpet, mm-hmm. Mary Poppins and Bedknobs and Broomsticks, Sound of Music. You know what I mean? It's like, those are
musicals. Yeah.
Those are classic. But yeah. Other than that, I didn't know about that, you know? And I'll tell you another thing is when I went to go see Sweeney Todd,
yeah,
no idea that was a musical.
I thought it was a movie. And I'm like, this is a musical. Yeah.
Sat there, I'm like, what the fuck?
I have a confession.
But I loved it, though.
I did the same thing with a movie called James and the Giant Peach. It was an animation. I got stoned out of my mind, thinking it was going to be this cool animation. I had no idea it was a musical. And I sat there and watched the entire thing. So, yeah, so.
That was the thing. I remember walking out of Sweeney Todd and really, you know, thrilled, is that I was glad that it was a musical, actually, because... I understood more of what they were saying than if they had just spoken it. Like the fact that it was through, you know, music, you can feel the emotion and feel everything instead of
them
just
talking. There's something about music that's captivating.
Yeah, definitely.
So I was going to ask, you know, why the horror background, but you kind of explained it a bit.
Once Nightmare Before Christmas happened, it just kind of opened up my eyes to this thing. And then after that, I was just... It never went away, and that was like my niche. That's what had my heart, my drive, my, you know, my passion. And so it just never went away. I've always been a little dark and creepy since.
Interesting. So I'm gonna ask. We're gonna talk about that a little bit more. I'm gonna take a quick little break.
All right.
There's so much I want to ask you, but I don't want to bombard you with everything at once. So we're gonna step out for a little bit. Again, this is episode 9. I'm here with Michael Lee Reyes, half of RNF Western Customs. Funny man on Instagram. Dresses pretty cool. He's got a nice haircut as well. And eventually, we're going to talk to someone else who's in the studio, but I think he's outside smoking a cigarette or something. But we'll be right back.
Don't you dare try to escape. The Creepcast with Rick Creeper shall return. Where do you think you're going? There is no escape from the Creepcast with Rick Creeper.
Okay, we're back. Episode 9 with my special guest, Michael Lee Reyes. One half of RNF Western Customs. I will definitely put the links in the description of the podcast where you can find them on Instagram, also the website where you can find their cool merch and artwork. Alrighty, sir. So you talked about some of your influence to do the...
excuse me.
Oh!
excuse me. I did not know... I did not know that you were recording already. Why didn't you come and get me? Hey, man, you were outside smoking a cigarette. We're not doing this right here. I don't understand why you always have to leave me out of it. Okay, Mielo, you know what? Sit down, and we'll get to you eventually. Okay.
Sorry, Dale. For those that don't know, that was Carlos Sanchez aka Theo Carlos. He's gonna be on the podcast too. I think he was outside smoking a
frajo,
rale. What are they smoking in Mexico? I forget what they're called. Rale, something like that. I dig his mustache. It's very uncle-ish, and the hair.
Wait, thank you. I'm very offended. just stop.
Is he wearing a jean jacket?
Why? Yes, I am. It's custom made.
It's custom made.
It's custom.
Are those look like Chuck Taylors too, as well? Theo?
Yeah. I got the Converse. I bought them. If that's what you're trying to, I did not steal them. I don't steal anymore. Okay. I don't steal any laughs either, but I mean.
So Theo Carlos, I have some questions for you, and we'll revisit your part of the segment. And I'll also put your Instagram in the description of the podcast where people can find you.
Gracias.
I didn't think he was gonna pop up right away.
He does things.
So yeah, that was Carlito Sanchez, aka Theo Carlos. You guys can check him out on Instagram. I'll put his link in the description.
Whatever.
Oh, God. So what the hell was I saying? You're influenced to do horror theme artwork. Yeah.
Yeah. Can we make it about me again? Yeah, it's fine. All right. I was talking to Carlos. So, we ended up selling a very good amount of lanterns. And over time, when you make the same thing over and over and over again, you kind of want a breath of fresh air. And so we started doing these monster-themed lanterns. And I think we did like a Frankenstein, Dracula, and a Lily Monster, which they ended up selling fairly well. They were received well. And then Vanessa Decker, who's the wife of Joel Decker from Hollywood Undead, mm-hmm. She must have seen our work at the Mystic and the Bearded Lady, and so she contacted and did a commission piece for Joel, who wanted to do a werewolf themed lantern, which was a little stressful, but was able to pull it off. And then from there, I kind of went into steampunk because it was a natural progression from doing lanterns. Same kind of time period almost, it's just like 10 or 15 years later when you have electricity now. Mm-hmm. But things kind of still look, and I wanted them to look old steampunk, kind of laboratory,
so you definitely
Frankenstein.
You created a timeline with the artwork.
Yeah, so I know with the steampunks, I wanted to use stained wood, I wanted to use copper, I wanted to use old metal rust things, I wanted little like metal alligator clips, I wanted a Frankenstein real life like scientific laboratory where you have like you see the coils and electricity and all
that's
these
cool.
things. And so that's when I started doing the steampunk, and then from there that went into doing like replica fetal skeleton artwork. And that same time period, the very first like major mixed media piece I did was a piece called Little Joe. And Little Joe was a barber. This is the story. He's a barber in 1920s, and he had a little mustache and he had a little top hat. He actually had like a little black cape, like a magician's cape.
That's cool.
And he was holding one of the old, you know, straight razors. And in the background, I had stained the backwood and I had striped it with red and distressed it so it looked like something that was from like, you know, 90 years ago. And then some medical label. I found a company that made the old school medical labels that you would find. And also I think I had put some jars of fluid like to replicate like Barbasol and all these things. Mm-hmm. And so putting that together, that was like the first mixed media piece that was like pretty big. And it was the first time that I put a price tag on something that was, you know, over $150.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a little nerve-wracking, and it sat at the Bearded Lady for a while, but finally the right buyer came in and just had to have it. And
have you ever created a piece that that was so dear to you, you decided to keep it for yourself? Like, you know what, this.
Yeah. So there's a couple pieces. So there's and I find that as I started making these other mixed media art pieces, they get bigger and bigger, they get more intricate. Mm-hmm. And I have to keep track of overhead, of materials, like of what, you know, these things cost. And I also have to keep track of my labor, of the time. It's really easy to get lost in something and spend, you know, a lot of your time because you want it, especially if you're a perfectionist. And so, yeah, the more that happens, then the higher the price goes. And so the last piece that I did that with was the gas mask angel.
I remember that one. I saw it on Instagram. I remember that.
Yeah, and so that one was a mannequin piece. I had to make a custom head because I didn't have one. And then I used like a 1960s. Gas mask on it because I found it on eBay, and then it was like then I had this. I had to find the right corset for it. It had to be perfect, and mm-hmm. never shot for one of those before.
Right,
it's kind of fun, and and yeah, I'm sure the girlfriend will love that. And so then I had to cut into this thing in it. I think it's like fiberglass, and so it's very messy, and it's you gotta wear a mask, you know. So I cut into it, and I painted the inside, and I ran lighting into it, and I made these doll heads, and I put them in there, and then the wings. I had to get the right wings, and so I can't remember exactly how I came up with that idea, but I just there's something really sexy and just macabre. Beautiful,
right.
With you know the thought of like you know apparently wearing a gas mask is a total taboo thing. Like it exists out there, but mm-hmm. to make it you know like a dark angel that's also you know sexy at the same time with the corset and everything.
You're able to create beauty in something dark.
Yeah. It's like you have these baby you know heads in there. Like she's the mother and she captures these souls and they're in her kind of representation mm-hmm. and. And yeah, the price for that had to be like, I think I want to say it had to be like $600 if I was going to, you know, make any kind of profit off of it. And so we put it in the Bearded Lady and it was there. It a lot of people like loved it.
Right.
A lot of people took pictures of it. They hashtagged it. It's still there. Like people love that piece. And I always said, I was like, you know what? If somebody buys it, they're going to buy it.
Right.
But if they don't, I don't care because I'll keep it. And that's what I end up doing is it's in my bedroom right now.
How long was it at the Bearded Lady for?
Oh, it was on display for a good like probably 6 or 7 months.
Okay.
And yeah, actually it's I spent so much time in it and you know, so I'm glad to have kept that piece.
There was so much of you invested in it, you just felt like maybe it's best.
Had to keep it. Maybe if I make another one, I'll probably not. It won't, you know, the second version of it won't be as intricate, probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this way I can keep the price down low, so
okay.
I can make it affordable, so someone can have something, but I have the very first one.
Maybe it wasn't meant to be sold. Maybe it was meant to be, you know,
yeah.
part of you. At home.
In my museum that I have in my apartment. Another piece was the Reanimator piece.
Mm-hmm.
That piece was another. I did that for the. The Mystic Museum, they do different themed shows every 3 months. They
right.
And they'll change it out. And so this
I'm
one,
to go, man. Just...
yeah, definitely check it out. And so their theme that time was the guy who did. He wrote the book Reanimator and did the movie.
I'm drawing a blank. Yeah.
Of course, we're into horror.
Of course, I'll remember later.
Yes. So yeah, I did a Reanimator piece. That's where I killed Daniel in the video. And that was the one time that I killed him. He's still alive. Reanimator, of course. So Yeah, that piece is great. It ends up in my stories quite often because I have a whole hallway of that. And so you'll see.
I like that.
You'll see a face and some purple light and green and all that.
Now, is that lighting consistent in your hallway, or do you just do it for the videos? Like, you got some.
No, that's consistent.
So it looks like a goddamn, like a haunted house I would work in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a great bathroom light. You know what I mean? When you're trying to make your way through.
Uh-huh.
So that's natural light.
Yeah, I was like, okay, maybe he put up some cool lights or something. Mm-hmm. But no, it's like that all the time.
Yeah, no, it's like that. It'll be like that right when I get home.
Okay.
I turn on all the lights. So I have, I have my lab area with the display lights. I have the hanging lights right there.
Uh-huh.
I have my office wall with some lights.
Okay.
I got one of the adventure lamps, the one that it's like a V lamp on the other side. I got the steampunk dome lights in my bedroom. So, I have a forest in my bedroom, so it kind of really...
So you got your theme throughout the whole apartment.
Yeah, I do that everywhere I go. I seem to, like, it's part of me. Like, you know, that diner in the old place, that was part of me.
Uh-huh.
The haunted forest that I made out of the tree branch that fell outside, and I put it on my wall, so that's Sleepy Hollow.
Do you, like, envision these pieces of art or, like, the core in your house, and you just, is it, like, just an image and you start writing out concepts or you start building off it? Like, how does it manifest with you?
For anyone that's ever like moved, moving's not fun.
It sucks. Yeah.
But there's that excitement when you walk into your new place and it's blank, it's empty. And it's like, again, going back to like, I don't see something for what it is, I see for what it could be. Uh-huh. So an empty room, I see it as a canvas.
Okay.
I see it as a blank piece of paper. You know, and so I sit down in the middle of the room and I just sit there and I stare. And, you know, it's kind of meditating with your eyes open. And I can picture what I can do. Like, what theme do I want to go with? What colors of that theme do I want to go with?
Uh-huh.
And what materials do I want to use? Often, what I'll do is, since I started building and learning what I'm capable of, what I'll do is like I'll go into a DIY or Lowe's or Home Depot, and what I do is I walk every single aisle and I scan every single aisle, and it just gets stuck in my brain. Mm-hmm. So in the future, if I have a project that I'm working on or, you know, doing interior decor or exterior decor, and I need something, I know where to find it because I've seen it.
Okay.
Because I've already scanned the store already.
So it's a memory, you pretty much mental note.
Yeah, things get stuck in there.
Jesus, it's not like me.
It happens with movies too, like quotes from movies. Like if I like a movie, I can recite the whole thing.
One of my friends who, Emmanuel Menji, who actually does the voiceover work for the podcast, me and him will go down a rabbit hole, the movie Snatch. And, you know, he's a voice actor. So I can't do the accents, I'm horrible, he doesn't. We'll say, we'll have the dumb one-liners, like only him, me and him know, like Looney Tunes one-liners, but yeah.
Yeah, no, so, that's how it comes. It's just, I've, especially now that I've done some of the things that I've done now, and now it's there's no putting it back in the bag now. So even when I moved into this apartment, my apartment's one giant art piece.
Just one big canvas.
That I live in, yeah. On my balcony, I built a workshop that looks like a log cabin. So half of it's a log cabin where I go out and I work on things, and then the other half is the lounge where I sit down and drink and smoke.
Drink and smoke while you're building. Two other pieces that I like besides the one lantern, the Dracula lantern, is the Alex clock.
Oh, Alice, yeah.
And then the Monster Romance jewelry box.
Yeah, the Alice, that one, that's another one that we've sold seven or eight of. I actually have two sitting at home right now that I still have to make a video for and shoot, but that one was the clock that, you know, I was walking through a store scanning and I saw this clock, and the, you know, it had this ugly plastic thing over it and the border to the clock was a different color, and I'm like, you know what? I go, that's some, that's either Van Gogh or that's Alice in Wonderland, you know, because it's all warped, and it's like, having time that's warped, that was like, whoa, wow, it touched me. I'm like, wow, that's, like, you're warping time. Mm-hmm. That's what that represents to me.
Right.
Don't know if that's what it was meant to, but, so it started with the clock, so I bought the clock, and then after that, since it was Alice, I was like, well, this thing needs a frame that is cartoony and something that you would see in an Alice movie, whether the cartoon, which is great, right? Especially if you're, I mean, there's all kinds of hidden innuendos they say in Alice, like acid trips and all this stuff.
You ever heard
LSD? And
there's always like the urban legend or lore about if you play a certain Pink Floyd album to it.
Yeah.
I don't know the actual gist of it, but I heard that when I was younger. I'm like, I don't see the relationship.
Yeah, everything's just kind of twisted. Yeah, like there's some kind of hidden thing.
There's some darkness to some of the Disney animated films.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the rides at Disney, like Pinocchio, maybe, like, it has a direct origin song.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about, like, you know, most of the movies start off with a murder within the first 20 minutes of the cartoon.
A lot of people don't realize a lot of these fairy tales, these fables, they're the Grimm brothers.
Yeah.
From the Black Forest area of Germany, and they're very dark.
Oh yeah, I loved this is another tangent. Reading, you know, all those fairy tales like Rumpelstiltskin and stuff like that, and just in that one alone, I loved that one because he was this creepy little guy that was magical. And why the hell he wanted the kid? Like,
there's,
you know what I mean?
There's
like,
somewhere,
why the hell
there's
would
some,
he want a kid?
There's some innuendos too, some sexual innuendos with Little Red Cap, which is Little Red Riding Hood. I went down a rabbit hole when I was younger, and also in high school, those books. I'm like, dude, these European versions of these books are totally different from what we're taught as kids.
Oh, yeah. Rumpelstiltskin, you say his name, she learns his name and says it three times, and he just kind of disappears.
Yeah.
Or you don't hear from him again. But in another one, he gets so pissed off that he stomps his foot through the wooden floor, and when he goes to pull his leg out, he pulls so hard that he rips himself in half. Very different version.
Okay, see, it's just...
But yeah, I love that stuff, but that frame had to be twisted like that clock, like that reality, and so then the frame came, and then it's like, all right, well... Before you put the clock on, like, what are you seeing? I'm like, well, I'm thinking cartoon, I'm thinking stripes, you know? So I'm like, okay, so before I attach that, I need a piece of wood, need to go to the store for that, you know, all right, what's the right gauge? Cut it, paint it, tape it off, paint it, and then it's like, all right, cool. Now, you know, once you put the for extra detail, I was like, all right, I want to represent Alice in here herself. And so, yeah, I found the ribbon that was the same color as her dress in the cartoon, and with the little white lace. So I put that down the middle to represent her, and then the clock. And then, I painted the clock so it would stand out.
Are you sketching this out or writing this stuff down, or are you just building as you're going?
No, you just kind of look at it.
So there's no, like, diagram or, like, bullet points, like a notepad. You're just like, I'm just gonna put this together.
Not for that. No, I found that when I was doing exterior design, when I was building, I would need to measure and
some estimation.
How many planks, how many 4x4s do I need? How many of this? So that this way, when I get to building, I don't have to stop.
You don't have to go home people five times. Yeah.
Yeah, I just knock it out. But no, for this one, just kind of eye it and see what looks right, what feels right.
When I looked at the clock, it I had a impression of like forced perspective, which I don't know if you know what forced perspective is. So you go to Disneyland and you walk down Main Street and the buildings look huge, or they're in the distance.
Things are designed for, a certain way.
They're designed a certain way. And if you actually look at the peaks of the roof, they're smaller than the actual, I think I'm explaining it right, the actual structure. Mm-hmm. Like the, I don't know, is it Cinderella's castle?
Yeah.
Or Sleeping Beauty's castle?
I think it's Sleeping Beauty's.
The castle is actually smaller when it gets closer to the peaks of the towers, whatever you want to call them. If you were to get up there like on a scissor lift or a boom truck, it's actually almost, not miniature, but it's scaled down.
Yeah, no, I would, you know, and this thing actually is huge, but it definitely looks a lot bigger, is, you know, Harry Potter. the Castle of Universal Studios. That thing looks
massive.
When you see that from far away, you're like, whoa. Yeah, but you can actually probably climb it. You know, but right. it looks epic. Yeah,
forced perspective. All the feet, like the whole section of Harry Potter, but the peaked roofs, that's all forced perspective.
It's great.
They make it look like it's these huge, towering, just like buildings, but they're not that big.
Yeah, that's fun. Like when I walk through there, that whole little town thing, it's like, that's so fun. Their bar there, like
I geek out. Yeah. Because I'm a Dungeons and Dragons nerd. I play role playing games. So when I was walking around with the girlfriend, though, we went there for Grinchmas. We're dating at the time, we weren't official. And I just totally had flashes, and, you know. I'm like, dude, this is like total like Dungeons and Dragons. So I could walk around with armor and I'll hit someone with an axe, which wouldn't be the right thing to do, but you know, that's why we have Ren Faire. But that's another story.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that, because when I go there, I'm like, man, it'd be cool to live in a castle.
Right?
You know, like, you know the bar and the restaurant in there?
Yeah.
Even then, it's like, man, you could take out all these tables and put a couch and a TV and they could just live here.
Live there. Have like an open fire pit. You
know. Yeah. This is also coming from someone who's always wanted to live in that superhero warehouse where you get to ride your motorcycle on the freight elevator.
And just in, go up.
And then just park it in your living room. And but, you know, the Harry Potter thing, I used to go there all the time because Dan does voice work for Transformers, but
Dan,
he's also the Grinch.
He is?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if we were there last December.
Did you wait in line?
We wanted to, but we saw. I was like, it's too long of a wait.
It's long.
I wanted coffee, and then but we were right there watching the Grinch. People were geeking out on him.
That was great when we were living together. Is that you know, he'd be sitting there watching the Grinch all day long to get these lines, and you know, you got the right part of the box.
Does he work? Does he work at Halloween Horror Nights?
He did that 2 years. And then after that, he was too old. He was too sore.
What do you know? What mazes or characters he played?
No. The first year, I think he alternated. Sometimes he was by the plane crash. Other times he was in the quad. Okay. Like that. And then the second year, I think he was more because he was returning. They gave him another swap, but it would change.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, with the whole running up and scaring people and doing that, when you do that for
this year should have officially been my third year scaring. And I'm 45. I discovered it at 43.
You know, did you ever post about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remembered because there's only a handful of people on Instagram that would reference certain things, and I knew what it was because of Daniel.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was probably yours. I was like, oh, okay, like he's older, but he's still doing it. And I think you remember saying something like how much you loved it.
It was, I was always a fan. Distance.
That's what your post really came across as, like, man, this guy like gets is in love with the fact that he still gets to do this.
And I think it was like I was finally in a position as far as a career, like I had the freedom, that stability, and I had the freedom like a vacation, I could take time off. I tried when I was younger. I told this before, and I was like, oh, fuck. And I tried other places. I'm wearing the shirt one place that didn't hire me. That's their loss. That's ironic. I'm wearing their shirt. I still love this. But I took a chance with an independent Ha Ha company and the promoter. I'm still close to all these people, and I just love it. I love it. Just the art of a scary performance. And I'm not one of these just, I'm the boogeyman. It's like, yeah. I'm very interactive.
No, you find new ways to get creepy and so like that. And that was such a shame, too, is that you'd get the people that would get, you know, these people. The patrons are paying to go into an event to have an experience.
Mm-hmm.
They know damn well
they're going to get scared.
And then when it actually happens, you have those closed-minded people, or idiots for lack of a better word, is they get pissed off or they try to attack the performer. It's like, you ass. your girlfriend got scared, and because you wanted to be El Gallo Negro and all macho,
right?
You know, now you're threatening the performer. It's like, her getting scared, that's you getting your money's worth.
You'd be amazed how many people got hit. I got pushed by the chest, but it was a reaction.
It was.
I've heard, like, you know, male and female punched in the face, hit, threatened, assaulted sexually. It's dumb people. Some people are, there's ill intent everywhere.
Yeah.
But there's the people that geek out. Like, I love the set design. Yeah. Detail, lighting.
I would hate to build those and then have to tear them down.
It's so much fun. I built a few pieces here and there, but I'm that dude that's walking through and I'm looking at everything. And the actors, hey, what's up? Good job. But if they have very intricate makeup or they're very elaborate and detailed in the conversations and captivating, I'm like, oh, look at this. I don't like, and then I said this before, I don't like the female scare actors. The little tiny, the little tiny ones. Uh-huh. I don't know what it is. It's associated with the dolls, and I don't like dolls. And when they pick up on that, they dissect me. Anyways,
yes.
You obviously love building, creating, and you see something, and you go from it goes from a concept to an actual creation. What were some of your like? Could you think back some of your influences when you were younger, like even 10 years ago, or when you were like, a kid? Like, was it movies, influence, like, movies, TV, no. Film, books, well, cartoons? I mean, we're almost the same age. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, you only got me by 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, we're in ballpark.
Yeah, we can relate to things. Yeah. Okay, so, yes, I will say the influences, obviously the big one is Tim Burton. Okay. 1991, Nightmare Before Christmas, that really opened up a new type of art, and I know that, you know, it's a popular one, it's Sandra, but it really did at the time. I was, let's see, 83, came out in 8, 9 years old, and I was like right there, right at a prime moment, and seeing that, those colors, the design and everything, it really changed things. And then with the music, I didn't notice it right away, but Danny Elfman he is amazing.
And amazing. I went from being a fan of Oingo Boingo to him.
Yeah.
And it went from the first Batman, Beetlejuice, all the Matrix movies, the X-Men animated series, all the Spider-Man, the Simpsons, the Conan O'Brien theme.
Yeah.
He's had hands on everything.
He did a Marvel movie. I didn't know. I didn't realize until I saw the. And what Marvel movie did you? Was it a?
Was it First Class? X-Men First Class?
No. It was Avengers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want to say he did either Endgame or he did Infinity War. But I saw Danny Elfman. I'm like, what?
I don't know how I know this. There was a show called Desperate Housewives. Yeah. He actually did the theme.
I have no idea.
I'm a Universal guy. And they take you on the tour and you go on the street where it's the Munster House and the movie The Burbs.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, Danny Elfman. And he did the theme to Desperate Housewives.
Yeah. You know, and the jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. So with the music and everything, that in itself, that's something I still use to this day when there's nothing greater than you make an art piece. Mm-hmm. And there are times where I'm listening to a certain song.
Yes.
And it put me in a certain mode, or mood, both. And I will put that on repeat, and I will listen to that for as long as it takes me to build or finish the art piece, because that's, I want to stay in that mood.
What kind of music were you listening to when we're building?
Well, you know the movie Seven?
Yes.
Okay, so Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails, he did a version of it's not Closer.
Yes, from Johnny Cash. No.
No, Closer.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's not the Johnny Cash. It's the I Want to Fuck You Like an Animal.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That one, the one with the gas mask and the pig and all that
That's
stuff.
That's right, yeah, you're right.
All right, so I remember when I was working on The Angel, I remember that music video because that was early 90s and that was when MTV was cool. And
MTV would actually show videos, yeah.
Yes, and I remember them showing latex and maybe a gas mask, but I remember the pig's head turning around and it was just very, and I have the remix version, which is the version that's on Closer, or on Seven, because it's different than the version that's all regular on the soundtrack or that we hear on the radio. This is a different beat, and I can't remember how I found it or came to acquire it. I probably can, but I'm not going to say it. Anyways, so I had that song playing on repeat for hours while I was building the Angel, to where I even put that as the song in the video that I did, and I got away with not getting hit by Instagram for copyright because
I got hit a couple times. So all the videos you post on your profile and for RNF Customs, you edit all those videos yourself.
Yeah.
Really?
So it's fun to, one, make the art piece, but then two, it's fun to, you know, use your iPhone or use your Canon to sit there and make a video, you know? Sometimes I'll think of the music that I want to use in it first. I'll upload all my imagery for the most part, but a lot of times I like to start with the song because the song is going to dictate on how I film the art piece, whether I'm, you know, is it sweeping motions left to right? Is it going up and down? Is it zooming in? Is it zooming out? Is it flickering bulbs? Are you using a flashlight to kind of like shadow?
And this is just something else you picked up on your own?
Yeah, I didn't.
You're like the jack of all trades.
I'm very lucky, and I'm very, like I said before, I'm very lucky to have the life that I do and to be able to do the things that I do, because I didn't foresee myself making videos. And all that was technology. It was a couple apps. I only use a couple apps. And they're so user-friendly for stupid people like myself to figure out. Because like I've seen like iMovie and all that stuff, and that just gives me an anxiety attack. There's buttons and switches and dials.
I'm a buffoon. I can barely manage my own podcast. I mean, Jesus.
You see little squiggly lines, and you're like, I don't know what that means. And, you know, it's just like, ah. But these two apps that I started using, they're so user-friendly. They're so great. It's like made specifically for the phone. And a lot of times, like adding music, I've just found that, like there's some songs that you can get and then like add them on there. But there are certain other songs that you just can't. And so, yeah, figure out a way to where it's like, hey, even in the app, you can turn on the microphone. And if you're using a laptop or a computer or something, or even your phone, if you have, well, you can't use your phone for that, but if you had your iPod, just get like a little small single speaker, a little portable speaker, like JBL or a little something like that. And if you hold your phone with the microphone at a certain height, at a certain volume, it sounds
the same.
Sounds the same. And a lot of times that's how I get the music into the video. So
you're very, you're resourceful. You figure out a way to do it.
Yeah, because I grew up poor.
It makes sense. The one video that kills me, I actually reposted it and I've watched it a million times. It's you come back grocery shopping. And you're like, oh, I forgot the tapatio. And yeah. you kneel down and you're like a superhero with like this cosmic energy, like this, like you teleport back to like the supermarket. But it was like, before you teleport, it was just like top 40 music, whatever it was.
Sometimes I'll put funny things in there. Like I'll put a Justin Bieber song in the background because I think I do listen. Don't judge me, but I do listen to some Justin Bieber. He's a catchy little fucker. but sometimes I think it's funny if, like, in the background, faintly you hear, you know, don't you give up, nah. It's like, why the hell is he listening to Justin Bieber?
You were listening to something. I'm like, what
is this? It was Bitch Better Have Mine, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, it was Bitch Better Have Mine.
Okay.
Yeah. And I thought, hey, you know what? That might be a little added little touch, a little... little sprinkle of something on top to, you know, just see if people catch it.
It was funny because I heard the song and you're like, oh, I forgot the tapatio. You kneel down and you teleport.
When I went to the market, it was bandas because it was
And you go to the Mexican marqueta, and it's banda music. And what kills me, you went from like top 4 music to banda. I'm like, okay, he's either at Vallarta or Northgate or one of the other markets. And then... You grab the tapatio, the big tapatio.
The big one, yeah.
And you like you do the eyebrows with the camera. I'm like, that fucking video kills me. Because you're like, I forgot the tapatio. I don't know how many times I've gone grocery shopping and I forgot the tapatio. Because I have one here at the house.
Yeah.
And I have one here at work as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got it. The story about that is I did forget the tapatio. And in the app that I use, they just come up with this effect on there. And I'm like, well, how do you use this? And so... The first part of it I filmed was when I had to go back to get the tapatio. And then having to set up my phone to record in an aisleway where people are walking by and kids and stuff like that and not have them look at you weird is one thing. So I filmed that part first. And then when I got home, I filmed what would be the first part. You know, so I filmed it backwards. But yeah, no, I did actually forget the tapatio, and what I was cooking You needed the you could not have it. So that's
was that the real music of the store, or you put that in there?
No, I put that in there. I totally put that in there. They were playing like probably some like Enrique Iglesias or something like that.
I was like, I heard the music. I'm like, okay, it's probably music from the store. And so you definitely have a sense of humor with all your different posts, the stupid things. I went down a rabbit hole like for years, and even recently, you played different characters. There's Chuco, right?
Well, there's Chucho. So you have, I have an idea, but I don't have an idea of exactly how this started. But you have Miguel. He's flamboyant. He's very flamboyant, mustache, Cuban hat, very high pitched. And then you have his brother, Chucho.
Chucho, who's more of the cholo.
He's the cholo. He's the you know.
The dude from the neighborhood.
Yeah, he's the dude from the neighborhood. And then you have Carlos, and Carlos is a Sanchez. Mm-hmm. Carlos is in essence, Carlos is Miguel's brother.
Okay.
That's why Chucho. Yeah, he's the brother of Miguel, but he doesn't have a last name. He's just Chucho.
Okay.
Because what Chucho in Spanish would be like Jesus, or...
I think so.
And so, it's a nickname for Jesus. So, but Carlos Sanchez, and I don't know where the fuck he went.
He's here somewhere.
Yeah, he's running around.
I got some questions from when he's ready, so.
But yeah, that's technically that's Miguel's puppet. Really? I haven't really revealed that, but yeah, okay. that's the hierarchy of that.
So you're definitely an advocate motorcycle rider.
Yes, sir.
What kind of bike you ride?
I have a 2009 Harley Nightster, which is a blacked out Sportster with 16-inch ape hangers and a 60 bar in the back. So she's a bobber.
How long have you been riding?
11 years. You know, as a kid, I would ride my bike to school and to work and every day because dad was working. And I always pretended like my bike was a motorcycle, you know, and I think his name was Kit.
Did you go up around on bikes? Like, did you have family members that rode bikes all the time? Or neighborhood, you know?
My Uncle Paul is a biker. He actually, one of these, you resemble him a lot when he's younger. Beard, trucker, you know. Full head of hair. Thought he was thinks he's Elvis every once in a while. But
we always have that one uncle.
Yeah.
That rides bikes and
talks to you like, all right, mira amigo, we're gonna talk today about the Lord and the Lord's word. And he always, yeah. that's my Uncle Paul. I love you. Yeah, and he was a biker, but it just as a kid, there's something about motorcycles that are just cool. And my first bicycle, his name was Kit from Knight Rider.
Okay.
I mean, it was like, and so...
Not the remake, the original series.
Oh, David Hasselhoff. The Hoff. Yes, the Hoff.
I remember they had Kit at Universal Forever.
Oh,
and
yes.
There was a live actor.
Yeah.
And you talked to Kit in the car when it was your turn, and he talked to you. Kit would answer your questions and say your name.
Yeah, that's when the big shark hanging, and when Jaws was Jaws, and Frankenstein, they still had him out on a regular basis.
Yeah, now the Jabberwockies was the Conan stunt show back in the day. You can find it on YouTube. I mean, that's
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future, yeah, they have the, yeah. Now it's the Simpsons ride, yeah, there's so many.
Which, are they going to keep that? Because technically Disney owns...
The Simpsons.
Right, and I saw a billboard on the way here of Disney Plus, of all their things, and it's a picture of Bart Simpson spray painting... On underneath the Simpsons, so
I mean,
it's like
Marvel too, Marvel Studios. So they used to have the superheroes there at Universal, and then they have the Universal Monsters as well. And then they phased out the monsters and brought in the superheroes, but then now Disney is Marvel Studios. So who knows? Do they take away?
Tangent. Yes. So motorcycle riding, just always there. Always wanted to do it, and 2009 was finally, you know, I had the career that could allow me to afford a toy like that. And I took a CC rider course because I'd never ridden before. Took a CC rider course. It was like $300. It was 3 days. First day was book work. Second day was test, written test. And the other half of the day was writing. And then the third day, they give you the the physical writing course. And once you pass, then all you have to do is go to DMV and schedule the written test. They waive the writing test. The actual, you know, hands-on.
Because you do it with the course.
Because he did it with CCR, yeah, CCR Writer. So if anyone that wants to learn how to ride, I strongly suggest it, because after 3 days and $300, I knew how to ride and I had my license. So
here's the thing, I've always wanted to ride. I've always liked bikes, I've always liked classic trucks, like old trucks, the street rods. I don't want to be that dude in his 40s to go get his license to ride a bike.
Should have like, doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, I don't want to be that dude, and they're like, you know, this guy should have been riding years ago. Like,
No. So, look, man, you got to do it. And, when you have sport bikes and you have, like, cruising bikes, like Harleys, we have two different cultures. One thing that both cultures share is the love for riding, which is why for the most part, when you see bikers pass each other, we always flash each other a peace sign. It's like, hey, you know, because, you know, riding on two wheels is invigorating. You have a sense of freedom that you can't explain. The only other adrenaline rush that I've had, other than motorcycle riding, is skydiving, jumping out of an airplane at 18,000 feet.
I think I'd rather jump on a bike.
That was the only other time that topped skydiving was riding a motorcycle. And so both cultures understand that. Now, you'll have your street racers or that they're all about speed and doing wheelies and doing all this stuff. Whereas you have the cruisers that they just want to ride, man. You just want to cruise, modern day cowboy, going through the desert, easy rider. So, it very welcoming. So if you wanted to get, I don't know what type of bike you, I know what type of bike I can imagine you on.
What kind of bike do you picture me on?
You belong on a Harley. Brother, okay. You belong on a Harley, either with some beach cruiser bars or some Apes.
Okay.
If that's what you want to do, then you got to do it, and you'll fit right in. And the community will accept you. Like, as long as you ride, like, it doesn't matter how long it took for you to find it, but you're here now.
True.
And
I mean, we'll share. I just discovered scare acting at 43, 40, 45.
And you love it, right?
I love it now. It's been fun. I mean, I was such in the mode of just working, work, being responsible, and I was always a fan from a distance, and I took a plunge, and again, this is technically would have been my third year, and I've done so much, the makeup, the photo shoots, the gigs.
Get that bike, man. You'll find that it's therapeutic. You know, there are times where I'm going to go for a ride, and they ask me, like, where are you going? I'm like,
I don't know. Who's doing it?
We'll figure out when I get there.
So whenever I have guests on the show, I always ask them kind of like a fantasy or like metaphoric question. So time portal opens up here in the park. You have an opportunity to go on a cruise with anyone, fictional, real, doesn't matter what period, what decade, what generation. It could be a character out of a book. It could be Peter Fonda from Easy Rider. It could be Stallone, whoever. Who would it be? Where would you go and why?
Wow. That's a good one. Well, you know, I love the Wild West, but I hear the hygiene wasn't the greatest, so I'm not too sure about that. You know what?
It doesn't have to be a motorcycle. It could be horseback.
Yeah. Never been on a horse either. I'm going to have to go with time period first, and then I'll figure it out.
Okay.
I have always believed that I was born in the wrong era. So I should have been...
That's another episode.
I should have been born late 20s, early 30s, so that in the 50s I could have been in my prime. Because there was something about that time period. Everything was like, you know, just genuinely made. And I'm not just going to say USA. I'm just saying things in general. Like, cars were metal, and those bumpers were steel, and they were chrome, and, you know, those soda machines, the soda fountain, diners, and those soda machines, the old school red with,
right,
you know, where you lift up and you pull that right out of that freezer, and there's, you know, that time period. I would have loved, I mean, the ads, the TV, the culture, the way of life, the thinking, you know, I'd want to go to that time period. And within that time period, to be too busy, like enjoying just life. But, you know, that's a time period that also came after World War II.
True.
Which was very, you know, it was a horrible time. It's just like in any war that we have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'd probably want to, like, you know, I don't know, talk to some of the, not only the troops, you know, the vets that came back from that, but you know what? The people, you know, Winston Churchill for like, you know, and I think, getting my president, I remember Churchill, but I don't know whether it was Eisenhower or Roosevelt.
I don't recall it. I'm going to butcher it probably, so.
One or both of them, probably, I don't know. But just talk to them, because those speeches, I don't know if you watch like the History Channel, but I've seen all those. Like, I'm a World War II buff, so I love.
My dad was too.
You know, you listen to these speeches. Oh, we will never surrender on the beaches, in the air, on the sand, all the stuff. And then you have, you know, America at the time, like finally getting in. And so yeah, I'd want to talk to vets. I'd want to talk to like, you know, famous figures, like just to like really know like what it was, mm-hmm. because it. In the 50s, it wasn't that long after that, you know, you're coming out of recession and wartime, and what was life like back then, too? Mm-hmm. We see this shiny, everybody smiling and waving, and, you know, ice cream floats, and, you know, cool motorcycles, you know, but what was life like then? Because I know what life is like current day, mm-hmm. coming out of a major disaster, yeah. and... what we're coming out of today, I think it all caught us by surprise by not taking it seriously at first, just hearing about it, and then all of a sudden,
it's all around us.
Oh, shit. And you can't even buy toilet paper. And didn't see that one coming, didn't see being stuck at home. I never would have imagined being in a position like this. And so, what did they go through? You know, with, you know, power outages, you know, conserving power, women going into the factories and trying to, you know, work during the daytime so that you don't have to use, you're using natural sunlight,
yeah.
to work to save that way, you know, scrap metaling and everybody doing their part, you know.
I remember my dad telling me them practicing drills. This is during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh, fallout drills.
Yeah, fallout drills.
Yeah.
And this is a man that was an immigrant that came to this country. That's another episode. So you definitely feel like you go back to that era, just ride around and just talk to the different folks. And
yeah, off the top of my head, I can't think of any one person that I'd want to go. I mean, I'm sure they're there, fictional or non-fictional, but definitely I want to know. I have to pick the location first because I have to know what life really truly was like during mm-hmm. during that time period.
I think that's why I gravitate. You know, for example, the apartment of an old Victorian home in historical district.
Great, by the way.
I've always gravitated to old cars, older movies, older homes. I don't like anything modern or new. And I've always felt like I don't belong where I was born. You know, like the era I was born, I'm always infatuated with, like, you know, the Dark Age, you know, armor and weapons and castles.
Yeah.
And then, like,
chainmail.
Yeah, chainmail, the Old West. It's like, you know, the eras, the 20s, the 30s. I love big band and swing music. I had a 65 Ford pickup. I love that.
You have the Mexican blanket also.
you don't reupholster the bench and just throw the Mexican blanket off the TJ.
Some white wall tires.
So what's your future look like as far as R&F Western Customs?
You know, I've kind of been like lagging lately. One thing the stay-at-home thing did was it gave me time to dedicate to art, and so. I a positive in all this is I came out of it flourishing. I have a ton of doll lamps, which I know you love.
Fucking creepy. That last video with the doll's heads, I'm like,
that's creepy. Right. I did a video too. I showed you what I was doing. So I have all those art pieces, and now I just have to like make videos and photo them and just put them out there. I think lately I've been focusing too much like on comedy or just. just posting things that are relevant that I feel people can relate to, and I think that's what makes it funny is that, hey, look.
But it's still fun, it's still enjoyable. You're getting a sense of enjoyment out of it, also you're providing something to people as well.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the thing that's also very touching and very humbling and flattering at the same time is that, you know, I'll post a story, which is temporary, or I'll do a video, and some of the responses and, you know, the comments that I get are from people, like, thanking me for making them smile, for making their day, or for, you know, and it's like, it's very touching, and it's, I'm very humbled, I'm very flattered, and just happy that, you know, I can play a small difference in somebody's life, if they're, especially if they're having a bad day. I see something and I think it's funny or not funny or whatever, and I was like, yeah, you know what, I see the humor in this, you know. And with doing the COVID videos, you know, I think that the one that I did with, the main one I did with Billy Joel, so I'm singing, I Think We're Alone Now, it's like, that's a cover that he did while he was at home. Mm-hmm. And so I had that version in my head when, you know, and I'm seeing things and like flatten the curve and you see that old man walking, elderly man walking with a face mask and a cane with the sun going down, that reminded me of Walking Dead, but the intro. The zombie slowly walking. Saw that and I'm like, ooh, that's a good one. But yeah, that video was like, it wasn't made to like make fun of like, you know, the time that we're going through or anything. It was just during this stay at home thing, we've all been kind of stuck inside. Mm-hmm. And so so this video was mainly comprised of temporary stories that I did that had gone away that nobody has access to. I was like, well, I like to put the compilations. Like, all right, well, I'll put the stories in a video. And so there are days of me just staring at the camera with, you know, crazy hair because I can't get a haircut. And
right.
Every day is like yesterday. And there's a picture of me jumping up and down in the hallway like I'm at some club. It's like, no, just in the hallway.
Just me.
Yeah, now back to bed. you know, going out and finding toilet paper. Like, that of me saying, holy shit, like, that really was, like...
That was a natural
reaction. I went to Bond's at 6:30 in the morning on Mother's Day. I remember. Like, it was the day that my first child was born. the day that I bought toilet paper.
Girl, I remember this day.
I do. It was 6:30 Sunday, Mother's Day, and I saw toilet paper and paper towels, and I bought the biggest packages I could, and I walked out of there like I had just won the lottery. You know, it was like, I felt good about myself.
Right.
So, I don't know. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, I tend to think things are funny when it's everyday things that other people can relate to, mm-hmm. because I think that kind of engages with people to mm-hmm. like saying, right, don't you hate, like, you know, when you're on your bed and your phone, it slips out of your hand, it smacks in your face, and you're just like, yep, that's...
It's all relatable, because those are things that we actually do.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, yeah, I have fun with it. I didn't expect such a reaction, a positive reaction to it. You know, at first it started off with art, and then every once in a while, you know, a comedy video would come out and people would respond to the comedy video way more than they do to the art. and then the only other thing was honestly the occasional selfie. Mm.
What's funny is I told some people in secret, not secret, privately, you were going to be on the podcast. And it was like, oh my God, I love his art. Oh my God, he's so funny. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, you have the fans that dig with the comedy you yeah. make, and then the fans of the old Cardinals, too, and the fan of the artwork as well.
It's almost like, yeah, different communities. Some of them are combined, but different communities. But yeah, people, and that tells me, people love to laugh, you know, and if I could help people do that or smile, then hey, why not?
So what's,
I'm going to get off my ass and just start posting more art and making it available to people instead of just having it sit around my apartment.
So what has Carlos been doing, the old Carlos been doing during COVID?
Being a little shit.
he's around somewhere. He's probably outside.
Hey, are you smoking again?
I think he's smoking on the porch.
Put it out.
He has the worst mustache in the world.
Hola.
Hey, Theo. What's going on?
Nothing much. Sorry, you know, he likes to talk a lot, so, you know, I just figured I'd go outside and have another, you know, another falafel.
That's cool, Theo. So how you been, Theo? What's going on?
I've been okay. I don't know if you saw my, ¿cómo se dice?
Instagram?
Yeah, my Instagrams.
Okay. Theo, I think it's Instagram, not Instagrams. Same difference.
Yeah, same chat. So yeah, I had like a lot of toilet paper and I had tapatio and I like had some beans and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And like people were concerned because they saw that my tapatio was low. But what I want you all to know is that I still had a big jar of tapatio that he had bought a long time ago. So, and tapatio, it doesn't go bad.
Do you keep it in the fridge or in the cupboard, tapatio?
That's a good question. A little bit of both. Right now, it's... where's the tapatio?
It's in the cabinet.
It's in the cabinet, right?
I personally think it's a sin to put it in the refrigerator. That's just me. I like it in the cabinet.
Room temperature is best. You know?
Oh my god.
I mean, I think so, but what do I know?
So can I ask you a couple questions, Theo?
Sure.
So
may not answer.
So what's your story like with your background? Like, tell me something about yourself personally.
Not to make fun of trading or anything, but I remember it's 2017, and I went from working in a factory or being in one, and then all of a sudden I was shipped to some dude's house.
Okay.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's crazy.
Are you a single man or are you married?
Are those gunshots or are like fireworks?
I live in Santa Ana.
Okay, so the gunshots.
Yes, it's 4th of July around the corner.
Like so. Gangbangers?
Gangbangers.
With their guns?
Yeah, most likely.
Pistolero.
So, Theo, are you a single or married person?
I had a girlfriend, but she left me.
You mind if I ask why?
Sancho.
For those that don't know what Sancho is, it's like
it's the other dude.
The other dude, there you go.
Yeah, the side guy.
Why don't you have like a TV series or a movie? You need to have like a show, like a Netflix or like maybe like the Adventures of Carlos Sanchez, like a movie or something.
You know, I can't say too much about it because he'll get upset. He's not as nice as he looks. But there's something in the works.
Are you talking about Michael? Michael is not a nice person? Or?
No, he's
in the other room.
So, like, he's a little creepy, eh? Like, you don't know what it's like to, like, live in a house with all those creepy art pieces around?
Uh-huh.
Like, a lot of times I think he looks at me and, like, he's gonna, like, mount me on the wall or something.
Is he gonna turn you into, like, a lamp or something?
I don't know, but...
Okay.
So there's something that we're working on, it's coming. There's something coming.
So what is your guys' relationship, you and Mr. Reyes?
You know, like him and I are like he's the boss, obviously. I actually like I'm Miguel Sanchez's puppet, like I'm his little puppet, eh? like that.
Oh my god.
So Miguel is like me and him are like family, like we're like related. But Michael, like he'd be like my uncle.
Well, so he's like your uncle.
Yeah, he'd be like my tío.
So I'm gonna ask you a couple random bonus questions, is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So it's one or the other, it's a choice.
It's a choice.
So I'm gonna ask you a couple questions.
It's a choice.
So, Tapatio or Valentina?
Tapatio.
Okay. El Cucuy or the Boogeyman?
El Cucuy, of course. Like, hey, if you want to say chancla or sandal, it's chancla.
Chancla. Why a mustache? Why not a full beard?
You know, a mustache, because I'm a lover, not a fighter. I think like a beard, I think that would make me look like, you know, like scary. Whereas like the mustache, that says like, hey, love me.
You look like you should be hanging drywall with a mustache. I'm sorry.
No, that's fairly, como se dice, accurate.
Accurate.
Yeah. At least I'm working indoors.
That's true.
Yeah.
What are your future plans?
You know, I relax at home. Looking for a new girlfriend. Okay. A novia, not a Sancha.
A novia, something serious?
I was online dating. I was online dating. There's this thing that's, what was it? It was...
Not Tinder, was it?
Well, no, not Tinder. It's Plenty of Puppets.
Plenty of
Puppets? It's Plenty of Puppets.
Plenty of Puppets, is that like a phone app or something?
It's Plenty of Puppets. I don't know if you can... Take my phone out.
That's a nice phone you got there for a puppet.
Hey, they take care of me. I told you, like, I'm famous and stuff.
I noticed.
Practically, I get more comments than he gets on his art pieces. Fuck that shit.
I noticed it in your profile on Instagram.
So, hold on. Don't look at some of these pictures. So, that was Camille, and like
recommended for you.
Yeah, and like this is a couple, and they wanted to have like a threesome. So it was weird.
So this is like a swingers profile or like a dating?
No, profile? It's just that's the profile. And then like there's another one, Tammy.
She got a big rack. I'm sorry, Thomas.
Sweet, single, and sassy. Yeah, but she looked like she was like fake. Her personality is like what you see. So I don't know. Like it could be something, but I don't know.
Oh my god, the puppets!
Yeah, no, I told you, puppets. Plenty of puppets.
Plenty of puppets. I'm not a single man, so I can't relate, sorry.
And, really?
She looks...
Like a hot mess.
Like a...
Oh. That's what she looked like.
Carlos, where can we find you out on Instagram?
You can find me either at my own Instagram page, the.carlos.sanchez, or a lot of times I like to hang out on Michael Lee Reyes' page because, I get more attention that way.
I noticed that. Well, I'll definitely put the link in the description of the podcast where they can find you and also Michael as well.
Gracias. I'll do the same for you too, Ricky.
No, thanks, Theo. I think that's it for questions. It's been a fun episode for having both of you guys on here.
No, thank you. Yeah, no, great. It's been... This was fun. This is a first for me.
That's good. Anything you want to promote before we sign out?
No. Thank you for having me as a guest on your show and in your home. And thank you to all the listeners and I really appreciate everything.
Any future plans besides making more art and videos and
just have a good time, whatever that is.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on.
Likewise.
You're always a very there was a gentleman to me online. We've been Insta friends for about 5 years. We found me in person, and I just realized we're in the same circle of people.
Yeah.
Earlier, in private interaction, small world.
It is a small world.
I just realized, I'm like, oh, so all, you know, I was like, well, so and so knows so and so. I'm like, oh, okay. But it's just weird how like the art, horror, haunt community, everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
And I just realized that, and it's like I've met so many people in the last 3 years, and then people I've been acquainted with or just known or just admired from a distance, and they all know each other as well. So I want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
It's been fun, and I'm still learning how to do the podcast. I know we had a little technical issues earlier, but I kind of figured it out. Hopefully the mic sound decent. But again, this is episode 9, excuse me, with Michael Lee Reyes, half of RNF Western Customs. You can find them on Instagram. Also, put the links in the description to their website.
Thank you.
And I want to thank Theo Carlos, Gardito Sanchez, for coming on.
Whatever.
You guys want to figure out what Gardito looks like? Just go on his Instagram.
Yeah, come check me out.
They go. Thanks, guys, for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon.
You've once again barely escaped the clutches of the Creepcast with Rick Creeper. Next time, you may not be so lucky. To find out more about the Creepcast and Rick Creeper, follow Rick on Instagram at RickCreeper11. Until next time, be sure to keep that lantern light burning. You never know what could be lurking out there.